Thank you for listening. For other great sermons, please visit us online at www.berkshirehillsbaptist.com.
Chapter 6. You know, every turn in life demands to make a decision. You pull up to a light that just turned yellow. You either got to decide to stop or blast through it before it turns red. You turn to you go into the store. I had to go to the store a week or two ago and get bread. Debbie said, we need some bread. She had to work, so I went to the store. I must have stood there, it seemed like forever, trying to figure out which loaf of bread to buy. I mean, why don't they just sell one kind? They're just like either wheat or white, you know. They got wheat with honey, and they got white, and they got wheat with honey and all this things stuck on it, and decisions. I mean, you stand there and you say, I don't know which one to get. And then you say, well, I know, I'll get the cheapest one. Oh, that don't look too good. Maybe I'll get the next one up. Well, that don't look, you know. I think they make the packages so that the more expensive ones look better. So you have to make all these decisions in life. And really, we need to make decisions about our spiritual life, too. We have to decide, are we going to serve God or not serve God? Are we going to trust Him as our Savior or not trust Him as our Savior? You know, really, that was the first big decision that we make in our spiritual life. It's when we come face to face with Jesus Christ, face to face with the gospel of Jesus Christ, and we have to decide, am I going to trust Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior? Am I going to believe that He died, was buried, and rose again? Or am I not? Am I going to decide to trust Jesus and go to heaven? Or not trust Jesus and take my chances? But after salvation, after we've trusted Jesus, we still have decisions all the time. And here in this section, Jesus gives us kind of guidance to help us in this process of making decisions. Now, most of the time we look through this and we talk about just giving money. And we may briefly cut on that, but this is more than just giving money. This is about making wise decisions. God has blessed us with life. Sometimes He's blessed us with stuff. Sometimes He's blessed us with abilities, multiple abilities. And so we have to be good stewards of all of those. But all those takes good decision making. So first of all, it says, let's just read verses 19 through 21. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. Verse 21, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Good decisions depend on our heart. Good decisions depend on the condition of our heart. Where our treasures determine our heart, and our heart will determine our treasures. What's your treasures? Well, what it's talking about here is treasures are whatever you deem to be the most valuable thing you have. It's, we all have something we treasure. But sometimes the treasures can become this affection for them that's kind of more than anything else. It's an excessive pursuit after something. It's a confidence in. What is your treasure in? What do you treasure the most? Ask yourself this question. You're in your house. It's you and either your husband or your wife. It's you and your child. There's two of you in the house. The other one is a loved one. Could be a grandchild. Could be a friend. You're in this house, and the house catches on fire. It's full of stuff that you've collected over the years. Memories and collectibles and all of this stuff. You have 1 minute to get out of the house. What are you going to grab and make sure that you get out of the house with? Good for you. And she'd probably grab you. And that's a good answer. That's the right answer. Because you treasure your loved one the most. But you know, there are people that would say, they're on their own. They have two legs. They can carry themselves out. I'm going to grab the money I have stashed in the corner. I'm going to grab this coin collection I have. I'm going to grab this. I'm going to grab that. Because that's the most valuable thing to them. And that's really when we're talking about treasures, that's what people are. Sometimes people's treasures are what they want people to think about them. It's the reputation. Some people's reputation to them is so great, they treasure it so much, they will do anything they can to keep that reputation, even if it means doing something illegal. Or even if it means blowing their own horn. You know, some people are humbly proud. They go around telling everybody, I'm so humble, the Lord's blessed me so much. Do you want to hear how much He's blessed me? And there's nothing wrong with doing that occasionally, but sometimes what we're doing is we want people to pat us on the back so we tell people how good we are in a humble way. Well, I'm not really that good, but the Lord, you know, I'm not, and so we have to be careful of our motives in making these decisions. What's your heart say? What's your heart say? It tells us, first of all, we can treasure worldly stuff. That's laying up treasures on earth. Someone said once, you know, you could have $1 million in the bank and be a Christian, but if the Lord comes, Antichrist gets it all. And what good is it going to do you then? That's a way of putting things in perspective. You know, and so we have to look at what does it say about earthly treasures. It says moths can corrupt them. In the day and age that this was written, one of the ways that people showed that they were rich, that they had money, or at least pretended they had money, was by the fancy clothes they wore. The people with the fanciest clothes, sometimes my tongue doesn't work, the people with the fanciest clothes were considered the wealthiest. And Jesus is saying, all those fancy clothes, you could open up your closet one day and the moths had a heyday. Other people like to collect money and coins. Some were steel. You could open up your treasure chest one day and it's all rusted together. Or, even worse, you could come home one day, find your doors broken down and all your stuff is gone because the thieves have carried it off. You see, he's telling us that earthly treasures are temporary. And he's not saying that we shouldn't have treasures. What he is saying is we have to decide that they're temporarily important, but they're not the difference between life and death. They're not the difference between am I going to serve God or not. There's many people, Christians, that have decided that working on Sunday to get extra money is better than coming to church, better than fellowshipping, better than worshiping God. And perhaps all of us have been there because we say, well, you know, if I work on Sunday, man, I get double time. I can work 8 hours and get paid twice as much. And that way I can have a lot to retire on. Kind of shows you where your heart is. Where your treasure is, there's where your heart is. And so stuff can harden our heart to spiritual inclinations. But he tells us here we can also treasure heavenly stuff. Heavenly stuff. That's giving to God what he's given to us. It doesn't just mean, you know, oftentimes we hear messages on this and we talk about how it means you need to always tithe, you need to always give your church and stuff like that. And those are good things. But this is more. Remember what Jesus said when he talked about serving him? If you give a cup of water to one of the least of these, my children, you same as giving it to me. That's a heavenly treasure. And sometimes we can take our stuff and use to help other people. That's a heavenly treasure, but it's more than that. You know, we're worried about things rusting, but you know, the armor of God that we're supposed to be wearing, that will never rust. That robe of righteousness we're supposed to have on, the moths can't eat that. That grace that we're supposed to have, that mercy we're supposed to exhibit, thieves can't steal that. Because that's what God's given you. And nobody can take it. The salvation that you have, no one can take it from you. Because God says, Jesus says, you're in his hand. And where's Jesus? He's in God's hand. Doubly protected. And so it's telling us here that we need to, where is your heart today when it comes to stuff? Is it, it's mine? Or is it, it's God's? Give it to me to use for his glory. Only you can make that decision. It tells us in Colossians 3, verse 1 and 2, if you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sits on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. So where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. God wants your heart. So does God have your heart, or does stuff have your heart? Good decisions depend on your heart. Good decisions also depend on our eyes. Look at verse 22 and 23. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. If thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? Good decisions depend on what we use our eyes for. Sometimes people use their eyes for bad things. Sometimes they use them for good things. And so our decisions that we make depends on what we look at. If you look, that word, when it's talking about the eye be evil, that means it's diseased. It's not seeing things as they truly are. What's that disease that kind of covers over your eyes and makes things look blurry? Is that cataracts? That's the kind of thing it's talking about here. It's like having spiritual cataracts, where when you look at something, it's blurry. But it also, if things are blurry, it may be possible to make bad decisions. I don't know if any of you do, but if you have cataracts really bad and your eyesight's blurry, should you be driving? Probably not. Because why? You can't read the road signs. You can't see the stop signs. You sometimes the car in front of you may be blurry and may appear to be moving when it's not. You see, we can make bad decisions with blurry vision. And the same thing goes true with our spiritual life. If through our eyes we've allowed them to be evil, we've allowed them to be blurry to the things of God, we're going to make bad decisions. We're going to look at things and not see what we think we see. Be like the blind man Jesus healed, remember? Sometimes he healed blind and they saw instantly. That other blind guy, the first thing when he healed his eyes, Jesus said, "What do you see?" He says, "I see men as trees." That didn't mean that they had branches and things like that. That meant that he just saw this shape, people that were in a shape, but he really couldn't make any distinctive features. But then later, he says, "No, I see everything well." And we go through life sometimes with our eyes looking at the wrong things, and we basically blurred our vision. We made our vision evil because we look at the wrong stuff. And we allow it to come into our lives and cause us to make bad decisions. And through that, we dishonor God. What do you look at that's bad? You don't have to raise your hand. You don't have to answer, but just think about it. And it doesn't have to be always sinful. All right? But it can become sinful. You know, when we got our car a couple years ago, got this little black HHR. We got it because it met our conditions. It was high enough to get in because it's got bad knees and I can't get real low in a car. It hurts after a while. It had good gas mileage. But here's the thing. As I'm walking around through the car showroom to go sign up to buy the car, they had this orange Camaro sitting there. Oh, man. It was beautiful. It was beautiful. And I looked at that and I told the salesman, I said, if I had the money, I'd be signing for that and not what I'm getting. But you see, sometimes we look at beautiful things like that. Now, the price on it was like three times what I paid for my car. If I'd have bought it, Debbie would have had to get a second job, and I'd have had to get more jobs just to pay the car payments. And that wouldn't have helped anybody. But sometimes that's what we do. Our vision gets to where we see something we want, and our vision is so blurry on this is what I want, we don't make the right decision thinking about how is this going to affect the rest of my life. And many times in our spiritual life, we make wrong decisions through blurry eyesight, not thinking, how will this decision affect the rest of my life? How will this decision affect those around me? So we have to make good decisions based on good eyesight. It says that good decisions are when our eye is clear. That's what it means when an eye be single. It means clear, perfect vision. I've been wearing these glasses since I was in the sixth grade. I don't have perfect vision without them. They've been corrected. And that's what we do really. In our sinful flesh, we all have blurry vision. Amen? But when we look through the Word of God, it's like putting glasses on when we let the Word of God go through our life. And the Word of God acts like glasses to correct our vision, so now it's clear. And we can see what God wants us to see. We can see clearly. So, we need to have a clear vision. We need to ask ourselves this question sometimes. What I'm looking at, will this give honor to God? The way I look at things, does this give honor to God? Only you can make that choice. But hopefully, we are looking at everything God wants us to look at through His spectacle, so to speak, through the Word of God, so that we're looking at it with clear vision. Because we can't make good decisions unless we look at it clearly, can we? So we can't make good decisions unless we have a good heart. We can't make good decisions unless we have a clear eye. But we also need to make good decisions, but that's based on our choices. Verse 24. No one can serve two masters. For either I hate the one and love the other, or else you'll hold to the one and despise the other. You can't serve God and mammon. That mammon's an old word. Different commentaries, they're not really sure where it came from, but everybody's agreed on one thing. It means stuff. Material things. And so it says here, now who spoke these words, by the way? Christ did. All right? These are Christ's words. Our Savior, our Lord, our Master. He's the one that said this, and He wanted us to be clear on it, that you can't be wishy-washy when it comes to service. You're either serving God or you're serving stuff. Because when it comes to decisions, it's all about choices. Do I choose what God wants or do I choose what I want? Do I choose what God wants or do I choose what the world wants? Do I choose what God wants or do I choose what the government wants? That's hard. We talked about this being Memorial Day. Military all through the centuries have had decisions to make, good choices. Am I going to serve my country or am I not? Am I going to serve my commander or am I not? Am I going to do what I'm supposed to or am I going to choose not to? But we have to understand something about God and mammon. And I'm going to finish up. I'm doing a little quick today, but I want to show you something. We can serve. This worked better when I practiced it. Who's this? Mammon. God or mammon? You can't serve both. Jesus said, you serve one or you serve the other. Now here's the deal. God is the creator. He's the one that created us. He's the one that created all that's around us. God is the creator. And so it goes to reason that if anybody knows you and what you need, it should be the creator. If anybody knows what's going to happen to guide you in the right path, it should be the Creator. So if we're going to worship somebody, it seems reasonable that we worship the Creator, which is God. But, I don't know if that's going to fall or not. But, how about mammon? Mammon is created. And what's the Bible say about worshiping something that's created? What's it call that? An idol. So if we choose to worship, serve mammon, we choose to serve created, we choose to serve an idol. So the choice is, what are you going to serve? What are you going to, and service implies worship. Are you going to worship the creator or the created? Are you going to worship Almighty God? Are you going to worship an idol? We know throughout the Old Testament, throughout the New Testament, it tells us you can't worship God and idols at the same time. What happens when we worship the idol? What is God's response? He doesn't like it. Okay? And when we just been studying the Old Testament, when the people of Israel, when they worshiped idols, what was God's response? He tried to get them back. When they didn't come back, He punished them. Or the New Testament word is chastised. You can call it anything you want to. It's taking you to the woodshed. And punishment is never easy. So when we come to a point, when we decide, okay, which one am I going to choose? And this goes for every individual, every believer. Because remember, he's talking to everybody here. Jesus is, the Sermon on the Mount, believers and unbelievers. If you choose to serve mammon, you choose to be serving an idol. And some people would say, No, I like stuff, but I believe there's a God. It doesn't matter if you believe there's a God or not. The devils believe and they tremble. The truth of the matter is, if you serve stuff, you're serving a created thing, you're serving an idol. Bottom line. But if you choose to serve God, you're serving the Creator. You're on God's side. Just like Joshua said, choose you this day whom you will serve. But as for me and my house, I'll serve the Lord. We'll serve the Lord. So the decision really is up to you. As all decisions are. But you have to understand what makes a good decision. A good decision starts from a good heart. A heart that's been given over to God. A heart that has decided what is important in life based on the Word of God. It's not treasures on earth. It's treasures we lay up in heaven. Good decisions are based on the eye, what goes through the eye. Is it all cloudy because you've allowed sin to enter in? Or is it clear because you're living a holy, pure life? You can only make wise, good decisions for God if your eye is clear. Otherwise, it says you're living in darkness. It's as if, though you have eyes, you're blind. Good decisions is based on good choices. Do you serve stuff, an idol? Or do you serve the Almighty, loving, merciful, graceful, grace-giving God, the Creator of the universe? The decision is yours. Let's go to the Lord now in prayer. And as we pray, what's your decision today? Is your heart right? Your eyes clear? Your choice? Have you chosen God above all else? Perhaps there's still a little within you that's not 100% clear. The Lord will help you through. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, that as created beings, you've given us choices. You've allowed us to make decisions. But help us, Lord, to make the right choice. Help us, Lord, to make the wise decisions in all that we do. Lord, now I ask that you look at my heart and the heart of each one present. And Lord, if there's any sin or iniquity, anything that's keeping me from making decisions that are good decisions for you, help it, Lord, to be rooted out. Help it, Lord, to be brought to my memory, the memories of those here, so that we can repent and ask forgiveness. Lord, look at my eyes. You taught that if our eyes offend us, we should pluck it out. But, Lord, help us to have clear eyes. Help us not to have eyes that are looking into darkness, but eyes that are looking into the light of the Lord. And then, Lord, help us to make wise choices. Help us, Lord, in all things, every decision that we need to make, let's choose God's decision. In Jesus' name we ask this. Amen.